hope you've had a great Christmas and New Year. It's time for the traditional post-festive FA Cup third round weekend. DK and Sam are looking at 6 televised games and we have a cup set double too. Our friends from the FWA have more nominees for Premier League Player of the Decade and Robbie Savage picks out his top flight team of the last 10 years. So sit back, relax and let's hope the guys can conjure up some cup magic.
Thank you, Emma. Looking forward to the third round of the FA Cup. 6 live games to go through on this edition of The Punt. I'm joined by a special guest here in the studio as well, Sam Norris, with me this week to look ahead to these 6 games. Your club involved later on in one of the feature matches as well. I can't wait for this.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, Dave. Wall-to-wall football, as it always is with the third round of the FA Cup, perhaps not quite as illustrious as it has been in years gone by. We all know that, but I was lucky enough to be at both semi-finals last year and it still means a great deal to a lot of fans, this competition. So really looking forward to it. Lots of games to go at.
Let's get stuck in. We'll start with Rochdale taking on Newcastle. This is a 12:31 kickoff on Saturday. You'll notice that 1 minute delay. That's part of the FA's Heads Up initiative to promote mental health amongst fans, which is a lovely initiative. And Rochdale, they'll fancy their chances here, I think. 17-4 to win the game. The draw 3-1. Newcastle in the betting 8-13. Qualification prices, Rochdale in the market at 7-2, Newcastle 1-6 to qualify, which looks short to me given Newcastle's injury problems. We saw that at the New Year's Day game against Leicester. They were beaten 3-0. They had to play virtually half the match with 10 men as well. So it's a balancing act for Steve Bruce because they're not guaranteed survival in the Premier League yet. And he won't want any more injuries.
No, absolutely not. As you say, having to play with 10 men for a large portion of that game was far from ideal. Newcastle are obviously not safe in the Premier League. Rochdale aren't exactly safe in League One at the moment. Given the way the relegation picture stacks up in League One, Rochdale perhaps not in as much trouble as they would be in a normal season. They're only 4 points clear of the drop zone, but Bury have been removed and Bolton and Southend look completely cut adrift. So yep, there's only really one relegation spot to be decided in that division. And I always feel that it's a welcome distraction for lower league teams, the FA Cup, who are battling relegation, whereas for Premier League teams who are battling relegation, not that Newcastle are right in a real dogfight at the moment, but as you say, it's certainly not
secure
at the moment. Yeah, and this is less of a welcome distraction for Newcastle, and it's generally a competition that they've treated with scant disregard over the last few years. Team selections have tended to be weak for Newcastle. They haven't taken the competition all that seriously, which is a surprise because this is the last major trophy they won way back in 1955. But I expect changes here for Newcastle.
Okay, Newcastle to make changes. My bet in this game, I'm going with Rochdale draw no bet. I think Rochdale have got a big chance. They had that confidence boosting win against Accrington and Newcastle plagued with injuries at the moment. What's your fancy?
Not too often do I look at a game where I actually don't like the price of either team, really. I think Newcastle are far too short here. I think there'll be lots of people in agreement with that. Don't want to back Newcastle at this price, but I wanted a bit more juice in Rochdale's price before I thought about backing them or looking at the handicaps as you've done. I've just got an overwhelming feeling that this is going to be decided by the odd goal here. I know Newcastle conceded 3 to Leicester and conceded 4 to Manchester United, but in other games, they've shown a little bit of resolution defensively. I think Rochdale will try and do the same here. Their MO has got to be to try and nick this by a goal or two. So under 2.5, possibly under 1.5 for me, it looks the bet. I don't think this is going to be an incredibly good watch. I'd go low on the goals with under 2.5, the safest option.
OK, thank you, Sam. Under 2.5 goals to pick for Sam in that one. Now, the third round of the FA Cup is all about cup upsets. Let's get a couple of tips on a couple of outsiders with John Gibby.
Never mind those live games selected by the TV companies featuring the same old teams time and time again. We all know the FA Cup is really about upsets and which of those lower league sides are going to stick it to the Premier League big guns and reward you in the pocket if you bat them. I've got a couple in mind, starting with free-scoring Peterborough to get a result at Turf Moor. Posh lead the way in terms of goal scoring in League One with a potent triple threat of Ivan Toney, Mohamed Issa and Marcus Madison. They all pose a serious challenge to anyone, and Burnley have previous with lower league opponents after Lincoln knocked them out of the cup in 2017. And secondly, there may not be quite as large a gulf in league positions between these two sides, but I don't think Sheffield Wednesday are a bad price to beat Brighton. Wednesday remain just outside the playoff places and take on a Brighton side who have only won one of their last 6 games. The Owls have lost their last 3 in a row, but can perhaps consider themselves a little unlucky having only gone down by a single goal in all 3. And with Brighton needing to keep their eye on the ball in terms of Premier League survival, they look potentially vulnerable in a cup competition, which will hardly be their top priority.
On to Wolves versus Manchester United at Molineux. 5:31 kickoff on Saturday for this one. And this is a game I know you're eagerly anticipating here. Wolves are 27-20 to win the game. They draw 12-5. Manchester United in the betting at 19-10. Qualification prices, Wolves 8-11 to go through to the fourth round, and Manchester United even money. And if you fancy a bet on the match result and both teams to score, Wolves 16-5, Man U 4-1, the draw 29-10. Wolves knocked Manchester United out of this competition last season. You were there, weren't you?
I was indeed. Tremendous atmosphere that night. It really, really was. And Wolves have got a good record against Manchester United generally under Nuno. 2 wins and 2 draws so far against Manchester United. And as we know, it's been discussed time and time again, Wolves in general, their record against the so-called top six is very good.
Yeah.
Not Manchester United out of this competition last year. Got a league win against them as well. Teams who are prepared to attack and play some football just plays right into the hands of Wolves, really. It's no surprise to see that they play well against the bigger sides in the division and struggle against the lesser sides, because the counter-attacking style of football that they play is only aided by teams who are going to try and come at you. So this is always a nice matchup for Wolves.
Yeah, Manchester United's confidence dented to a certain extent by that result against Arsenal, 2-0 loss. And it wasn't just the result, it was the manner of the defeat. I don't know who came out worse in that match, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer or Unai Emery, because Mikel Arteta clearly got Arsenal playing. But Manchester United struggled a bit, and they've struggled all season in my mind. And I've said on numerous occasions on the punt that I was surprised they didn't go for Mauricio Pochettino. And Robin van Persie, in his post-match comments, he was quite scathing of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, saying the players don't really respect him, they don't fear him, and that's why he's not getting the best out of them at the moment. And I fear for Manchester United in this game against Wolves?
I do as well, really. I think it's probably priced accordingly, with Wolves maybe a little bit shorter in the betting than they may have been in years gone by, but that's deservedly so. The only issue that may be at play here is possible rotation.
Yeah.
Wolves have got a very small squad. That's the way Nuno likes it. But obviously, with involvement in the Europa League this year, they've had to come through qualifying rounds. It means they've already played 30-odd competitive games. Mm. And we saw a much rotated team against Aston Villa in the League Cup, which included couple of teenagers. There was a 16-year-old who played by the name of Chem Campbell, who didn't even have that many games to his name in the under-23 setup. So Nuno might be tempted to rest a few of the star names here. The squad isn't particularly deep, and if he does rotate, that would be a concern. I think Solskjaer might rotate as well, but it's just a much deeper Manchester United squad. So rotation could be a worry. We saw signs of fatigue beginning to creep in for Wolves at the weekend, of course, against Watford, who admittedly are resurgent. And admittedly, Wolves have been a second-half team all year long, but they looked very flat in the first half and couldn't take anything off a side in the relegation zone who were down to 10 men for a chunk of that game. And fatigue is going to catch up with Wolves at some stage this season, so there might be some rotation in this game, albeit Nuno Santo took the competition quite seriously last year on a run to the semi-final. Rotation, I think, might be the worry if you're thinking about backing Wolves.
I am thinking about backing Wolves here. I think Wolves are a good bet against Manchester United. Not convinced by Manchester United at all presently. I'm going for Wolves to win this game. What's your bet in the match?
Manchester United are too hit and miss, really, for me to want to bet them with any kind of conviction. I think if you are betting Manchester United this season, you want to wait for the bigger prices. I know they're not going to be going off 7, 8, 9 to 1 every week like they did against Manchester City, but those are the times to be with Manchester United. I don't really want to back them at the prices in this one. Slightly worried about Nuno possibly rotating, but there's only real one bet I'd want to bet with any kind of conviction here, and that's a Wolves win. Good record against Manchester United. Nuno hasn't been beaten by them so far in his tenure as Wolves manager, so I think Wolves have to be the pick. They look the safer option.
OK, Wolves the bet in that game at Molineux. Now, we had the Player of the Decade, part one, from the Football Writers Association team last week. Let's get part two right now.
It's easy to get blindsided by the recent past when you're coming to make these choices, but I've gone to earlier in the decade for my choice, and that's Wayne Rooney of Manchester United in England. Rooney was a fantastic, awesome competitor, a wonderful striker in his heyday, and don't forget at the start of the decade he was in his prime, in his early to mid-20s, and went on to be an influential figure, breaking both the all-time goal-scoring record for Manchester United and England, beating Sir Bobby Charlton's record on both of those for club and country. An awesome competitor, he also scored some spectacular goals, most notably that wonderful overhead kick in the Manchester derby against City in 2011, which ranks as one of the greatest goals of the Premier League era. So, my choice, Wayne Rooney.
As much as it pains me to say it, as a Manchester United fan, my player of the decade for the 2010s is David Silva of Manchester City.
If it were a game of show me your medals, I think very few other players could be his equal. because he's won the FA Cup, the League Cup. He's been champion of England with twice with one club and will soon be a champion of England with another. He's been champion of Europe. He's been champion of the world. And I think you've got a fair idea of who I'm talking about now. But he's not the kind to play show me your medals kind of game. He's the very opposite of that, which is one of the reasons why he is my player of the decade. And I'm talking, of course, about James Milner of Liverpool and formerly of many other clubs, which he all served with distinction and in every single position as an outfield player, except that of centre-back. And I think that might still come. In an age when football changed not necessarily for the better, he had also this great VO2. He didn't change himself and he stayed true to what he has always been and always will be. Somebody who is utterly dedicated to the game, somebody who has got an interesting rapport, shall we say, with the fans, somebody who is respected by absolutely everybody, and something which is, I think, too often forgotten, an exceptional football player in whom Fabio Capello once saw the future of English football. And perhaps English football would have been better if Fabio Capello had been right. So my player of the decade is the wonderful James Milner.
Player of the decade? Always tough, isn't it? Plenty of contenders, plenty of great players. But for me, the player who stood out, winning the title a couple of times, but also always leading his team by an example, was Eden Hazard. So for me, Eden Hazard, sadly no longer in the Premier League, is the Premier League player of the decade.
What about that then? We had a lot of Sergio Aguero, Vincent Kompany last week, players of the decade in the Premier League. James Milner, a left field selection from Philippe Auclair, and I must admit, I love James Milner. I think he's a terrific, he's a servant, isn't he? I know it's a cliche, but he's everywhere he goes, whatever position he plays in, he always affects the game and gives 100%. That sounds corny.
Absolutely, and I'm going to use another cliche here, utility man. I mean, has there been a more versatile player in the Premier League over the course of this last decade? It's just tremendous, as you say, every position that he plays in. I completely understand why he's no longer in the England picture out of his choosing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he wants to give the opportunity to younger players. But I think he'd be a fabulous addition to the squad because, as you say, he can just play so many different roles, can always be relied upon. I'm struggling to think of too many mistakes that he's made through the course of his career. And he's a really fair selection for player of the decade just because of his incredible versatility and consistency.
Let's get stuck into Middlesbrough versus Spurs then. 2:01 kickoff this one on Sunday afternoon. Middlesbrough 9-2 to win the game. The draw is 16-5. Spurs 4-7. Qualification prices, Middlesbrough 9-2 to qualify. Spurs 1-8 in that market. Both teams to score yes is 8-11, no is even money. Full range of betting markets, enhanced odds available on the game at williamhill.com and on the app as well. Middlesbrough, four straight wins in the Championship. Before Christmas, it looked like they were going to be embroiled in a relegation battle. They're not anymore. They're 10 points clear of the relegation zone. And Spurs faltered slightly. They were beaten by Southampton on New Year's Day. And Harry Kane, we're not sure about his prognosis. He came off in that game. And without Harry Kane, they might lack that potency up front.
Yeah, it's going to be a big miss for Spurs. It would be a big miss for any team. It's right that you point out Borough have had a little bit of an upturn in form because things were beginning to look a little bit dicey for them. But four straight wins for Borough means that they'll come into this game with plenty of confidence. And it's just been interesting to watch Spurs under Jose Mourinho. We're 11 games into his tenure now, so we've got a little bit of a sample size. And for a manager that had been criticised in the past for being overly defensive, they've been quite exciting to watch. And just Spurs games in general have been exciting to watch, featuring loads of goals. There's only been one clean sheet in the 11 games since Jose Mourinho took over. That was against Burnley. And it's just generally been really exciting to watch Spurs games since he took over. He's a man who takes this competition generally quite seriously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're always having to second guess how the bigger teams are going to line up here in terms of team selection. But Mourinho's last game in this competition was the 2018 final. He took Manchester United to that final, of course. And he's generally taken this quite seriously. He's a serial winner. He wants silverware and he must view this competition as a winnable one for Spurs. So I expect there'll be plenty of rotation across the weekend. But I think we'll see a decent Spurs team put out here. There may be one or two changes, but I certainly don't think it'll be wholesale changes like some managers will be tempted to do.
Jose Mourinho, by the way, has won 13 of his 14 matches in the FA Cup against lower league opposition. I do think Spurs will just about shade this, Sam.
Yeah, I can see Spurs winning the game. I think Jose Mourinho is going to put out a decent side, take it seriously. I think it will be a Spurs win. But backing them to keep a clean sheet at the moment is just not the done thing. Just 1-11 since he took over. And I don't really see them keeping a clean sheet here against a resurgent Middlesbrough side. I think they definitely get on the score sheet. Spurs are the bet, but when you throw in both teams to score, that adds a real nice dimension to it and increases the price, of course. So Spurs winning both teams to score, I think, looks a really, really sound wager in this.
OK, Spurs and both teams to score in that game at the Riverside. Now, we just heard from the FWA guys and their player of the decade. What about Robbie Savage and his team of the decade?
Here's my team of the decade in goal. Edison, back-to-back Premier League titles with Pep Guardiola's side. Back three, Vincent Kompany, 4 Premier League titles. Rio Ferdinand, 2 Premier League titles in this decade. Then Virgil van Dijk, European champion, world champion, second best player in the world at this minute. Then a midfield 4, Raheem Sterling. Incredible performances for Pep's side, back-to-back Premier Leagues. Kevin De Bruyne, is there a better midfielder in the Premier League right now? Back-to-back Premier League titles. N'Golo Kante, Leicester. Wow, that was incredible. Then goes to Chelsea and wins it with them. 2 titles for N'Golo Kante, left-hand side. Gareth Bale didn't win the Premier League, but 26 goals for Spurs in his last season. Then gets him a move to Real Madrid. Then he wins 4 Champions Leagues. Oh, then a front three. Eden Hazard, unbelievable. Sergio Aguero. And then Wayne Rooney. 2 Premier League titles in this decade.
Now we've got the tie of the round for you at Anfield. The Merseyside derby, Liverpool taking on Everton. Liverpool odds on here, 63-100 to win the game. The draw, 16-5, with Everton in the betting at 19-5. If you fancy both teams to score in this match, 4-9, yes. 13-8, no. So Everton clearly fancied to go to Anfield and at least grab one, possibly even two in this game, by the compilers anyway. And you can understand why, because Jurgen Klopp will make changes. The Premier League is the main focus for Liverpool, along with the Champions League. But they want that first Premier League title, don't they? Given they can't afford to have many more injuries, you can see Jurgen Klopp rotating here a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been obviously a very, very busy campaign for Liverpool. That's been well documented with obviously the struggles of trying to compete in the League Cup and also the Club World Cup. They've played a lot of games already this season. And as you mentioned, priority number one, as we all know, is the Premier League. Absolutely. But he won't be able to make too many changes and still expect Liverpool to win this game, because Everton have turned a bit of a corner under Carlo Ancelotti, and he's just revitalised Dominic Calvert-Lewin as well, who's scored 3 goals already since Ancelotti took over. I have to say, I question whether he truly wanted to sign Calvert-Lewin whilst he was Napoli manager. Did you buy that?
Yeah, I read that and I was surprised that he'd mentioned it.
Yeah.
But maybe that's to get the fans on side. Another little
possibly
tidbit that's come out of the Everton camp recently is that Farhad Moshiri, Duncan Ferguson approached him and said, now that Ancelotti's in, does that mean I'm out? And he said, no. He basically said, you're in charge of passion.
I did see this, yeah.
Which, like, he's like a mascot now.
He's the perfect man for the job, yeah. Really, because, well, he was caretaker manager. He injected plenty of passion to the role. So if ever there was a man for the job, then it probably is Duncan Ferguson. But I did read that. Bizarre.
I fancy goals in this game. That's advertised by the prices as well. Very short, both teams to score in the match. I think Everton, I fancy a draw in 90 minutes. I think it could be a scoring draw, this one.
I could see that with Everton having played better under Carlo Ancelotti. There's one man who's kind of dominated this fixture recently, and that's Divock Origi, who I think is probably going to get the start. If he's going to rest any players, Jurgen Klopp, then I think Origi comes in. He scored 4 times in this fixture at Anfield, so he's got a really, really good record in Merseyside derbies, and he's just generally developed cult status as a man who comes in and scores in big games. There's very few games bigger for Liverpool fans than a Merseyside derby. So I think Divock Origi to get on the score sheet will be a good bet here. I'd be fairly confident that he plays and he can keep up his terrific goal-scoring record in this fixture.
Yeah, I like that bet a lot. Divock Origi to score any time in the game. That's available here with William Hill at 11-8. He's 5-1 to get the first goal as well. So Divock Origi, the main man for Liverpool in this Merseyside derby at Anfield.
Have you seen this?
Love it.
How did they get a box?
It's overrated up there.
But it's Bill Gerrard's from William Hill. It's brilliant. 3 or more goals for us, 12 corners, 4 cards.
What, you can create your own bet?
Yeah, and you get instant odds.
Oh. Right. Go, boys!
I
least we're warm.
Yeah. Make it your bet. William Hill, build your odds.
Let's talk about the Hammers next. They travel to Priestfield Stadium to take on Gillingham. Gillingham 17-4 to win the game. They draw 3-1. West Ham 8-13 in that 90-minute mark. If you fancy a bet on a qualification for the fourth round, Gillingham 3-1 to qualify for the fourth round. The Hammers available at 2-9. Yes, both teams to score is 8-11. No is in the betting even money. And West Ham fans must be fearful every time they come out of the hat and draw lower league opposition, because my dad supports West Ham, and every time they get a team either in the Championship or Leagues 1 and 2, he's expecting them to get knocked out, and it's happened the last couple of seasons in the FA Cup.
Yeah, beaten by Wimbledon and Wigan in the last couple of years. So the FA Cup has not been a competition that's been particularly kind to West Ham on the pitch, albeit they've had on paper kind draws. And this is another tough one really for them coming up against Gillingham. They got the win at the weekend, West Ham, obviously a big win against, you know, fellow relegation candidates in Bournemouth. There'll be a lot of people that are not all that inspired by the reappointment of David Moyes, but
I think it's a good appointment, though. I think that if you're looking to secure survival in the Premier League, bring in a man that knows how to do that in David Moyes. And Moyes did well at West Ham, I thought he was unfairly treated by the board to bring in Manuel Pellegrini, because they wanted to reach the next level. They've always got delusions of grandeur, I think, West Ham as a club, and that was just one example of it, yes, in my opinion.
I think it feels very short term again, though. It feels like,
do you think so?
It feels like they're bringing in David Moyes, as you say, perhaps to steady the ship, perhaps to secure Premier League status. But I'm not sure he's the man with a blueprint for longevity for West Ham to reach the levels that they want to be. As you mentioned, you know, everyone, after a while in the Premier League, survival stops being enough. It shouldn't really be enough for West Ham anyway.
You know,
there have been a big side over the years, but it just feels like a short-term appointment to me. But there were already signs at the weekend when they beat Bournemouth that that perhaps they might play a little bit better under Moyes.
And you mentioned those two FA Cup losses in the last couple of seasons. Not to forget, they were knocked out by Oxford United 4-0 in the EFL Cup earlier on, yep, in the campaign as well. Gillingham could be the bet here. They might cause an upset. They've been very strong at home. They're unbeaten at home since early November, Gillingham. I could see this being a cup upset.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad that you mentioned the home form there, because it's been really, really strong for Gillingham recently. They've won 6 of the last 7 at home. The other one was a draw. They won 5 of those in normal time. Admittedly, they did need extra time to get to this stage of the competition, beating Sunderland in the previous round. But I think that home form is rock solid. And during that run of games as well, they also beat Spurs 2-0 in the League Cup as well. So they know how to beat Premier League teams on home soil this season, Gillingham. I like them plus a goal here. That's still odds against, which I think is a really nice way in. West Ham have a poor record against lower league opposition in this competition over the last few years. And Gillingham have shown when beating Spurs at home that they're more than capable of doing away with a Premier League team. So I think Gillingham getting a goal, still odds against. And it could be a 90-minute draw there and you still win a bet. I'd much rather have that on side than think about weighing into West Ham at a short price.
No, I like it. I agree with you. Gillingham maybe to upset the Hammers in the third round of the FA Cup.
Hey up, how's your luck been over Christmas and New Year with your footy bets? Been some strange results in the Premier League, haven't there? But I think this is a weekend primed for your bet boost. I'm looking at Man City, Newcastle, Leicester, Chelsea, Spurs and Sheffield United to all win as an ACCA. Hit your boost button once you've stuck them in your bet slip and watch the price get bigger. Good luck!
The third round of the FA Cup comes to its conclusion then at the Emirates on Monday night, with Arsenal taking on Leeds United. Arsenal are 63-100. Second time I've said this in this show so far. The draw 16-5, Leeds in the betting at 19-5. Qualification market, Arsenal 1-3 to go through to the fourth round. Leeds in the betting at 9-4. And if you fancy both teams to score in the match, yes is 4-6. No in the betting at 11-10. And of course, you can build a your odds bet on the William Hill website and on the app as well. I think this is one of the more intriguing fixtures of the third round. Marcelo Bielsa knows what it takes to beat a Premier League side. He did it with Athletic Bilbao a few years ago now, when he beat Manchester United both home and away. But this is clearly not priority number one. They got that point against West Brom at the Hawthorns on New Year's Day, which was a very good point picked up, I think, for Leeds. I think they're going to get automatically promoted, but they'll still be concerned that they might slip into the playoffs again.
Yeah, there's been so many heartbreaks for Leeds over the past few years. Even this big gap that they've got at the moment, I'm sure the fans won't settle down until it's been mathematically confirmed. And I think you've kind of touched on the big sort of debating point for this game, and that is going to be motivation. Who's going to want this game more? We spend our whole lives when we're trying to bet on cup football working out who wants it more, who's yeah. going to take it more seriously. And in
do you think we go over the top about that sometimes, though?
Possibly so, yeah. But it's an important factor, definitely.
It is, yeah.
We probably get a little bit too bogged down in it, really. Because on paper, this should be a game that Arsenal are targeting way more than Leeds. Arsenal are, of course, not out of the race for European places, but they're a little way off the pace. Top four looks unlikely. Top six still a possibility. But really, it almost should be all eggs in the FA Cup basket for them this year in terms of trying to win a trophy. They should be targeting this competition very seriously, whereas Leeds, perhaps with the Premier League golden ticket, if you like, on their minds, they should be taking this a little bit less seriously. But at the same time, I don't want to
You're
back
conflicted
Arsenal.
Here, aren't you? You're conflicted.
I just don't want to back Arsenal really ever, even though I think they ought to be taking this more seriously than Leeds.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And if there's one way for Mikel Arteta to get the fans on side, I think he did it to a certain extent with that performance against Manchester United, because he showed that he can have Lucas Torreira and Granit Xhaka working as a partnership. He breathed new life into Nicola Pepe, who had been a bitter disappointment since his arrival. And David Luiz had his best ever performance in an Arsenal shirt. Admittedly, that bar was set pretty low, but he leaped over it in that game against Manchester United. So I think if there's one way for Mikel Arteta to get the fans with him, it's a good FA Cup run and maybe even the possibility of silverware. I think Arsenal are going to win this game. I think Marcelo Bielsa, his focus is the Premier League. I'm going with the Gunners to win this.
I think you're spot on about the main focus for Leeds being a promotion to the Premier League. But I'm going to take you on.
Okay.
And it's more of a price thing than anything else. I think Arsenal absolutely should be taking this way more seriously than Leeds are. And just to throw into the mix, actually, Leeds have not got a great record getting past the third round in recent years with defeats to Sutton and Newport County, to name but two over recent years. So they haven't got a tremendously good record in the FA Cup. But I'm just not interested in Arsenal at this price. So
okay. It's
a pure price play. I'm going to go for Leeds. We've seen throughout the course of the season, they play good football. Marcelo Bielsa always has a blueprint to beat other teams. He'll have a plan in mind to try and beat Arsenal, even if there's a couple of changes made for Leeds. I just can't go near Arsenal at this price. So it's a pure price play for me. But I think Leeds have got a decent chance of beating a side who are only eight places higher than them in the football pyramid.
I like that. I'm going with Arsenal to win the game. Sam going with Leeds. Difference of opinion in that one. Now let's get the Football League guys and their thoughts on this week with their best bets.
My nap of the week is going to be Brentford and over 2.5 match goals at 29-20. They're taking on Stoke. Now, Stoke got a fantastic 5-2 win on New Year's Day, and they've improved massively thanks in no small part to performances from the likes of Ryan Shawcross. But Brentford are scoring tons of goals. They battered Bristol City away from home. And ultimately, what's Michael O'Neill really going to care about? An FA Cup run or dragging Stoke from the mire in which they find themselves? Brentford and over 2.5 match goals.
My nap in the FA Cup this weekend is a side who actually let me down in League One last time out. Oxford United riding high at the top end of League One at home to Hartlepool United, who are struggling in the National League. Hartlepool away from home conceding plenty. Their last four games away from home, they're conceding fours and threes and twos. Oxford United like a cup run, as their League Cup exploits will testify. They lost recently at home to Man City, but did score in that game. And I'm fancying them to score quite a few goals against Hartlepool. I fancy Oxford to score in both halves at 21-20 as my nap.
9th place, 9-5 away at 12th place seems fair, but Plymouth are too big this week. 4 wins in 6, 6 wins in 10. They started the season with just 1 away win in 5 since then, 5 away wins in 9. And aside from an undeserved defeat at Cambridge last month, the only other blips came at the current top 2 and higher tier Bristol Rovers in the Cup. So Cambridge aside, they've not even dropped points at a team below 2nd since September. And Scunthorpe's blinding end to 2019 has stopped. 2 defeats in 3 now. A side that's dropped points at home to the likes of Walsall on bottom club Stevenage recently should not be favourites here. Plymouth are 9-5.
I don't like the look of this all of a sudden. Usurped at the top of the table by Mr. Pete Farris. And he's not been gloating about it either, which makes me even more concerned.
He's clearly much more magnanimous than you are, because when you were at the top of the table, we never heard the end of it out in the office. But Pete Farris is clearly a man who carries himself with more decorum than you do.
Absolutely. I'm going with Rochdale draw, no bet. Mentioned it on the main preview as well. I just think Newcastle, with all those injury concerns, are going to struggle. Rochdale got that big win against Accrington the other day. So I'm going Rochdale draw, no bet. It's a good price at 11-4 as well.
Definitely is, yeah. And I've got similar thoughts in the fact that I'm wanting to be siding with a lower league team, yeah, taking on Premier League opposition. I'm not much of a draw, no bet man, though. It's plus a goal for me. Getting my money back, I always think...
you want a winner.
Yeah, exactly. I want a winner. So it's going to be Gillingham plus a goal for me against West Ham. Tremendous good home record. And West Ham have just struggled in years gone by against Wigan and Wimbledon in this competition. So Gillingham plus a goal for me. But similar kind of thoughts to you in that I was looking for a vulnerable Premier League team.
That's 5-4, by the way. Gillingham plus one. Everton to win for Derek. Derby plus one against Crystal Palace is the selection for Alex Dunn. All the bets available on the William Hill website, of course, and on the app. Sam, thank you for your company.
Thanks, Dave. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you, everyone that's tuned in and watched or listened to the punts. Make sure you check out all those markets for the third round of the FA Cup at williamhill.com and on the app. And we will be back for Premier League football very soon.